This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Are they the smartest show in the Bay Area?
You guys are an intellectual feast for the smart sports fan in the Bay Area.
Wow.
You're pretty much the smartest guys on the radio.
I agree.
Good Lord, how big is your ego?
Are they the funniest show in the Bay Area?
Give it a laugh. Come on. You're a funny guy. Come on. Give me a laugh.
You are funny, dude.
Hit that S again.
Are they the coolest show in the Bay Area?
And no white boys. They're cool.
That's what people are saying.
You guys are phenomenal.
This is one of the most perfect ways that I could end my day, getting the chance to talk to Mr. Mark and Dan, you know?
We'll let you be the judge.
Oh.
All I know is it's a couple of Bay Area boys talking sports.
I know nothing.
Thanks.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Happy Friday. Mark Randy, Dan Dibley with you here on Willard and Dibs. Willard will be back on Monday here on 95.7 The Game. Dibs, happy Friday. It's a hell of a day. Steph Curry, 56 points in Orlando last night. How you doing, Dibs?
I'm doing great. And, man, it just is... It's unbelievable, but when you say that it's unbelievable, it's really so believable. And it's not to the point where it's predictable and ordinary, but... We all shouldn't be that stunned that Steph Curry can get hot and he can get that hot. He can hit 12 threes. He can put up 56 and carry a team. How many times have we seen Steph go on that sort of a heater? I know he's only had three games with more points, but we've seen that act before. And I'll just say this. It doesn't get old.
No,
I
could
watch that thing again and again and again. And man,
I think you already have watched it again and again and again.
Exactly. I hope to see it again and again and again. And we can take calls on where that ranks among your favorite Steph Curry games, but that one's up there. It's for sure
up there. I mean, I'm thinking of this game last night, and what goes through my mind is that's one of the moments, one of the nights, one of the games that when Steph Curry's career is all over and I don't even want to think about it because that's going to be an incredibly emotional day, or even 20 years from now when I'm thinking back on the great career of Steph Curry, that's going to be one of those games and one of those moments, Dibs, where I'm like, oh, I remember exactly where I was watching that when it happened. Like, and I know this is just a random game in February, but this is an important time of this Warriors season, and it will only be further emphasized if this season continues down the way that it has gone the last eight games. But this is a game that's akin to some of his other top performances that actually happened on the same calendar day, February 27th. You go back to 2016, that was the 12 three-pointers, the double bang in Oklahoma City. That was also the same day, February 27th, 2013, when he kind of announced himself on the national stage at MSG, scoring 52 points or whatever it was, 54 points in that one. Like, those are where were you when? I remember specifically where I was on both those days in 2013 and 2016, and I think I'm going to feel the same way about what happened last night in Orlando.
And where were you? You were here, right? Because you were getting ready for...
I did not do the post game.
Oh, Dan DeVone did.
Dan DeVone did the post game last
okay.
night. So I filled in with Goo.
Right.
And,
that's right. So where were you? Were you at home?
I was just at home.
Just
sitting in my apartment watching it. And I'm going to remember it.
Yeah.
I remember 2013 at Madison Square Garden. I was, at that point, a junior in high school. And I remember specifically, it was just my mom and I at home that night for whatever reason. We went out and we got burgers from a local joint up in Windsor. Shout out to the 707. And we went home. I watched that game. It was on ESPN. I remember Mark Jones was calling it, and he absolutely went off. The Warriors lost that game against the Knicks, if you can believe it. I remember sitting at my dinner table in my parents' house growing up, watching that game. And then in 2016, I was a sophomore at Oregon, and I was sitting watching it on ESPN. Mike Breen on the call, my college roommates with me. In fact, one of my college roommates had a couple of friends in town from his hometown, and that was their introduction to me, was me just screaming at the TV when Steph Curry's doing his craziness. But I'm gonna remember watching that game like 10 years from now, because it's what Steph Curry does. He creates those sort of memories that stick with you for a long, long, long time.
And even with the 56, and you can think about all the different shots that he made, and some of them were just completely ridiculous, but we've seen it so many times, and yet he pulls up from, according to the official ledger, it's 50 feet.
That was more than that.
It was closer to 65. You and I were looking at it pre-show, and he's barely past the opposite end three-point line, and he just flicks it, like Willard was talking about earlier in the week, how he's able to just flick the shot from however far. And this one, that thing went so fast and hard through the net, and he had about seven or eight shots that were just thwack, like ultimate swishes where the ball almost doesn't touch the net. He was so locked in last night, and yet he hits it from almost three-quarter court, and you're like, wow, that was a great shot. But again, you're not that amazed. You're not that surprised. It's what he does on the regular. I can't believe that they didn't press him up sooner on that possession, because he gets within, I don't know, 80 feet, and he's in range?
Yes.
I don't know if he can make one from the opposite foul line, but I wouldn't put it past him.
Well, he almost did in that 2015 series against the Grizzlies. That wasn't quite the opposite foul line, but it was the farthest shot he's ever made in his NBA career. He's done it in practice, obviously. We've seen him from doing it like in the paint on the other side of the floor.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was just another one of those moments. And what's crazy about last night specifically, Dibs, is 56 points. The Warriors needed legitimately every single one of those points to win that basketball game. And now they're 7-1 with Jimmy Butler. They're up to the 7 seed in the Western Conference. Like, there are so many, as we run through, and we can take your calls on this, your texts on this, 888-957-9570, your where were you when Steph Curry moments, because there's so many of them. I know you were just binged the rest of Court of Gold, which followed Team USA and everyone else in the Olympic men's basketball tournament over the summer in Paris. That one is one of them, the Golden Dagger down the stretch against France, the final few minutes of that gold medal game. That's a where were you when Steph Curry moment. Last night is a where were you when Steph Curry moment. That OKC game in 2016 is a where were you when moment. There's so many of them, and we can take your calls and text on that. 888-957-9570. What are some of the others that pop to mind about Stephen Curry, and where does this one rank on that list? But that was a huge win for the Warriors to get, Dibs, because you're beginning a road trip in which a lot of us feel like a 4-1 is a realistic goal. You got the Knicks on this trip, so you wanted to take care of business on this one, and this was a game, Dibs, early in the season. Warriors, they kind of call it quits probably late in the second quarter, and they lose that game by 20 or 30 points, and they just don't even waste the energy trying to come back. But last night it was different, and whether you want to say it's Steph being Steph or the impact of Jimmy Butler or Quentin Post or whatever the reason is, they fought back, and they're showing continually now they're an entirely different team than they were for the first 50-some-odd games.
Yeah, and that's a great point. And even going into the locker room, so Steph hits one from 50, 55, 60, whatever you want to call it, and that cuts the lead to 13 at the half. So,
I think it was 14.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
I thought it was 13, but you get to that point, and it's like, wow, Steph is starting to heat up. Steph's playing great. And you're still not getting blown out, but you're still in a decent amount of trouble. Paolo Banchero was amazing, especially in that first half. And Wagner was contributing, and Orlando was on a definite heater of their own. And yet, Steph is single-handedly kind of keeping them in it, but you're still down double digits at the break. And I do think you're right. The difference in this team now is you're showing a lot more resolve and you have a lot more confidence. So came out in the third quarter, and by early in the fourth, they had flipped that game completely around.
Yeah, and it was obviously Steph kept them afloat in the first half, and that three to beat the buzzer to close the first half was a big part of it. It gave them momentum going into the second half, and then he just absolutely exploded in the third quarter to the point where there was a point late in the third quarter. Steph normally plays like the first 7 or 8 minutes of the third quarter, then gets subbed out, and Steve Kerr is set to bring, I think, Buddy Hield and Brandon Pajemski into the game, and Steph essentially says to Steve, Nah, I'm not coming out, coach. I'm too hot right now. Don't you see what I'm doing? Don't take me out. He leaves him in for another couple of minutes or two. The Warriors ultimately build the lead up to 12 at one point in that third quarter. And then Steph comes out. There was a little bit of a run by Orlando, but then the Warriors came back out in the fourth quarter without Steph Curry. With Steph resting, Quentin Post was big. Moses Moody hit a big three to close the third quarter, and they ultimately hold on to win that game, and it was Steph's heroics down the stretch. But, yeah, man, that was an amazing Steph Curry performance, and it's difficult at this stage of his career, Dibs. He's now less than two, or actually exactly 2 weeks away, because his birthday's March 14th. And we're on the final day of February now. So he's 2 weeks away from being 37 years old. Mm. It's hard to watch that and take that in and not just feel an overwhelming sense of gratitude, because you just have to take advantage of these days for Steph, because you don't really know how many more of them you're going to get. You know you're going to get individual greatness from Steph often, but you never know. He might not score 56 points ever again in his career, and that's not saying that much, considering that's the fourth most points he's ever scored in a game, and he's played 16, 17 years, how many it is. Like, this might be one of the best games we see Steph play for the rest of our lives. And I'm in the middle of trying to take it in and really appreciate what we witnessed.
Yeah, and you have to do that. And it's just so many fascinating things about the game and just Steph in general. And I was looking at the list of 50-point games, the most 50-point games in the history of the association. He's now tied for seventh with Rick Barry and LeBron James. That's his 14th game of 50 or more. Of course, the leader, Wilt Chamberlain, he had 118 times he did that. One year, he averaged 50 a game. So and that's the kind of season that's going to get you to the top of the list.
Did you know, though, Steph has the most 50-point games after turning age 30, though?
Yeah, I didn't know that, but I was going to get to that list in a second, but the other guys ahead of him, Michael, Kobe, James Harden, Elgin Baylor, and Damian Lillard has one more 50-point game. And you were just talking about Steph's age, and I was thinking, who's the oldest guy to ever have 50 in a game? And it's Jamal Crawford, who was 39 years old when he had 51 points, but there's only four games by players who are older than Steph is now to have 50. Michael, Kobe, and a couple of LeBrons. So he's already sixth on that list of oldest player to have at least 50. But to your point, looking at this list, he's number 6, number 7, number 9, and number 11, and number 19 in terms of age at which you had 50. So, yeah, it makes sense that he would be, you know, the guy to have the most 50-point games. You said after the age of
30.
After the age of 30.
He has 9 after age 30. Of his 14 after he turned 30.
And he's got 5 of them, 1, 2, 3, 4, actually 4 of them since he turned 34 and a half.
Wow.
So since he
celebrates half birthdays just like you
do. Yeah, he does. he had one the day after his birthday in 2023. He had two within like a 100-day stretch. His 50-point ledger is up there, like many other things with Steph. He's among greats on a lot of these lists.
Yeah, he is just incredible. And there are so many times in the past where Steph would throw out a 45-point night, a 50-point night, the 62-point night against Portland a few years ago, and it leads to like a 20-point Warrior win where the result isn't really ever in question. But what made last night different and I think a little more meaningful and impactful was that the Warriors desperately needed the win, and they needed every single one of those points. And I think it leads to what we can get into next, Dibs, which is, I don't know how you feel, but this season to me is beginning to feel a little bit special. And there's a lot that goes into it. I know there's only 8 games into the Jimmy Butler era, but they're 7-1 in those 8, and they just have a different feeling around them. And for me, It feels pretty darn special. Doesn't mean I'm saying I think they're going to win a championship, but this I have a pretty familiar feeling about this team right now, and we felt it a lot. And generally, when we've had that feeling, they've gone pretty darn far in the playoffs. So we can get into that coming up on the other side.
And when they've gone pretty darn far, they've made it to the finals. Like, they have either they've won one series, and that's it, just once.
Or in the Steve Kerr era.
Correct, because with Mark Jackson that happened. But in the Steve Kerr era,
they've either gone to if they made the playoffs, they've gone to the finals, or they've lost in the second round.
Right.
That's the Steve Kerr era.
Yeah, because they've never lost in the first round.
Nope.
And they've gone to the finals every other time. So it does feel like right now, and I know it's prisoner of the moment stuff, but if I had to choose, are they going to go to the finals or would they be a first round out? Or even would they be a second round out? You're starting to think that maybe Draymond was onto something, right?
All right, yeah, we can get into that. Do you feel something special cooking right now? Because I do. I'll tell you why coming up on the other side. You can give us a call, shoot us a text, 888-957-9570. It's Dibs and Grandy with you on Willard and Dibs. We're sponsored by MB Jesse Painting. More coming up next on 95.7 The Game.
Very physical so far. Curry right side. There's a triple just below the hash mark, and the oohs and ahs echo through the crowd. Curry off a screen. Quick release. Splash for number 30. Curry with a 4-on-5 here. Takes a logo shot. It's good. Curry backs up, hits a three. And Curry is keeping the Warriors single-handedly within shouting distance. Curry, three-quarter court. Lets it fly. It's good! He hit it! One dribble, one shot. Curry from three-corner court knocks it down. Curry off the screen, wide open, fakes, takes a step to his left. The shot goes up and hit the top of the backboard and went in. Butler left alone, finds Curry, hits a relocation three, and it's good! And Golden State now down by one. Curry, mid-court left, driving, stopping on a dive, takes a three, it's up and good! Post gets to the Curry, to Buddy Hield, back to Curry, double clutch three, he got another one, he hit another one. Curry now has it after the two free throws by Anthony, 6-point game, back to Curry, three ball good on the right sideline, number 10 on the night. Curry the bounce pass to Butler, back to Curry, he'll fire again, he got another one, it's number 11 on the night. Pajemski out to Curry, pump fake, fly by, three ball, got it with the buzzer sounding. The shot clock was winding down. It's 12-3 of the night. He's got a 52-point game. More importantly, the Warriors lead by 5.
Now back to Willard and Dibs. Take it away, Mark.
I will, Steph. Just not Mark Willard, Mark Randy alongside Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. He would add 4 more points, 56 for Steph. And, man, there's few things better than Steph Curry going off. One of the things better than that, Dibs, might be Tim Roy calling Steph Curry going off.
And just the excitement building with each and every three. He got another one!
And it's gone!
And it's just so fun. I mean, neither one of us will ever do as much play-by-play as he's done, but when you do play-by-play, it's fun as heck, but sometimes you do catch a special moment or a special game, and just think about Tim and Bob Fitzgerald as well, who's been doing it for 30 years or so.
Man.
To be able to broadcast this guy, and for Tim to be, you know, you just go to Orlando, it's just a Thursday in Orlando. I don't get up for a Thursday night in Orlando, yet you got Steph Curry on the floor. You just never know the magic that could unfold. His 14th 50-point game in his career. What do you think the record is in those 14 games, Mark Randy?
14 50-point games.
Regular season, he's scored 50 or more 14 times,
which
is the seventh most.
I know there's at least a couple losses in there. Mm-hmm. I would imagine the vast majority of them are going to be wins. So 14, I will say, I'll say 11-3 in the 14.
Thank you for playing. I'm sorry. You'll get a copy of our home game. 9-5.
Oh, wow.
9-5, yeah. And we talked pre-show about his 60-burger against Atlanta, a loss.
Yep.
And you mentioned the game at New York, 54, loss.
I wasn't thinking about that.
At Dallas, we talked about this one, too.
57,
loss. And then he had 50 against Phoenix in 2022, a loss. And then he had 50 against the Clippers almost 2 years ago to the day. That was the day after his birthday, in a loss. So
I guess it kind of tells you when Steph, obviously some of those are like probably he's putting up 30 shot attempts in a game. What made yesterday special was only 25 shot attempts to get 56 points, 16 for 25, 12 for 19 from downtown, also got to the line 12 times. But I would imagine some of those losses are Nobody else is doing anything. We're down big. I just got to chuck, and that's the only chance we have of winning this game, which is kind of what last night was. The difference was he was good enough, and he got enough help from Quentin Post. You managed, and the defense was good in the second half.
We managed
to sneak the win.
We can get into Quentin Post and all the other ancillary pieces that seem to be coming together as we talk about this maybe being special, but it's going to be special because that guy is special. 56 points at Orlando, and you know, we were talking about it before. The swishes were unbelievable.
Pure.
Yeah, like he barely was hitting the rim, and then the one shot goes off the top of the backboard and in, and you see him kind of shrug on his way back down the floor because that shot for him was ugly. And it hit the rim, but it hit the top of the rim and then up to the backboard and bounced around and through. And sometimes when those are going, it's just going to be your night.
You're Steph Curry.
Yeah.
You get some of those bounces and rolls
you
sometimes.
You do. Shooter's touch.
Yeah, no doubt. 888-957-9570. We're going to dive into a season that feels like it's turning a corner, and it feels special to me. That's coming up in just a second. But we are also open all day long on this Friday on Willard and Dibs. It's Dibs and Granny with you just to bask in Steph Curry's greatness. And if you've got a past Steph Curry game that comes to mind, we were talking earlier about where were you when Steph moments. We're always welcome for those all day long here on Willard and Dibs. Let's go to Wando in the city. Wando wants to talk about some Steph moments. What's up, Wando?
Hey, guys. Happy Friday. Glad. I totally agree. It feels starting to feel special. They've kept it interesting the first part of the year, and now it definitely feels like they've got some teeth. So this is extra fun lately. Glad you brought up that record, Dibs, because I was just thinking about the timeline and a couple of things. Curry's got all those 30-point or 50-point games after 30. For one good reason, he would have had more if it weren't for not playing a lot of fourth quarters, as we all remember, having to defer shots, you know, before he turned 30 or around that time. But I was thinking about his early 50-point games, and wasn't it at the Knicks he dropped 50 and at MSG, and we got the loss, I think. We didn't get the win. So I remember in those days telling some people, like, let's have Steph be passing first. And, I mean, I want to say we lost a couple of those early games. You have the schedule in front of you of those 50-pointers, but I want to say a couple of his first 50-point games were losses, and it just felt weird. But, just want to throw that out there.
No, it's great, and appreciate
Thanks,
the
Wando.
Call. Actually, the Knicks game was the first, 54, and then he proceeded to get 50 and win the next six.
Mm.
The next six games he had 50 or more were wins, and then that preceded the game against Dallas and all the rest of it. But it's an interesting point about the KD years where didn't get to play a lot of fourth quarters, and you were sharing the ball a lot more. But what we've seen, especially from last night, is when he has it going, there's almost nothing you can do. And I'm surprised that Orlando didn't try to double him more, and they did start running him off the line a little bit. And you mentioned it before, he went to the mid-range, and he hit a couple of middies, and he had a couple of layups as well. So, and maybe I'm just thinking about Court of Gold, but I think it was Serbia where they're talking about, and we got to run him off the line. We're going to run him off the line, and you know you can do that only for so long because he moves so well. And I do think partly why it's feeling like they may have something going on special is the players are all moving together and finding him. And Quentin Post last night was terrific in a couple of passes that he made. And, you know, Jimmy Butler is such a heady distributor of the ball. It feels like you can't really stop Steph as easily anymore.
Yeah. No, and there was one moment, I think it was his last three. I think it was the 12th one. It was either the 11th or the 12th. And you just heard Tim Roy call it as it sounded here last night on 95.7 The Game. Tim Roy's going to be joining us at 4:15, by the way, so we can ask him about some of his favorite Steph Curry memories. He has so many to choose from. It might take him a while to find the one that he cherishes the most. Of course, there's so many of them. But there was one moment, Dibs, and you're talking about Orlando and how they defended him. They had KCP on him late in the game, and KCP, a very good perimeter defender, and he has at times, not that anyone can stop Steph, but he has at times been one of the best defenders against Steph. And the Warriors purposefully, they get a switch. In fact, they ran two screens to Steph, and they ultimately got Paolo Banchero switched onto him. And then that's a matchup that Steph can eat at. And they get Steph the ball, and he gets open, uses a pump fake, and gets Paolo to fly by him and is wide open, top of the key, maybe just to the right of the top of the key, and he nails that three. And I'm sitting at home watching this game, Dibs, seeing what Steph has been doing this entire game, and specifically in the second half, and I'm screaming. Not that I'm upset, because I want Steph to make another three, and I want the Warriors to win this game, but I'm screaming at the Magic. You got Paolo one-on-one against Steph. Why are you not sending a double his way? Why are you not trapping him? Why are you not forcing the ball out of his hands? They're just asking to get cooked. And when Steph is in that mode, I mean, honestly, it probably wouldn't have even mattered if there was a double team on him. Because when he gets that hot, he's making anything. But they just allowed him to get a wide open top of the key three. You got to do something more than just allow Paolo one-on-one against Steph.
Yeah, and if you do find yourself in that spot, you can't go out there and try to block the shot and you fly by him. And yeah. I'm looking at it right here, Grandy. It's 111-109, and there's
big
a minute
shot.
39
yep.
to go. They double-team Steph off a screen roll. They trap it, and he immediately bounce passes to Quentin Post, and Bankero stays with Steph, but unfortunately, he turns his head, and so the ball goes to Pods. Steph just kind of tiptoes away from Bankero. Pods penetrates. Bankero overplays it.
Boom.
Steph catches it at about 28 feet, and he squares up to shoot, and then Bankero... Like, that's where
bye-bye.
Disciplined defender, he still probably makes it, but
yeah.
You made it easy because he gave you the pump, the relocation, and then whap.
And there's no one else within 10 feet of Steph.
Right.
Yeah.
Because they had all helped on Pods because Pods got by his man. And so Steph is, I mean, he's the best ever at shooting it, but that move that he's kind of patented where it's the pump fake and just a quick the relocation dribble
yep.
and you know, just you know get set again, and he drilled it.
You're right, though, and if this is going to be a special season for the Warriors, it's going to be because Steph is proving that he's still top of the top in the NBA, and he's 36 going on 37. He's going to have to be good for this season to be special. But Dibs, maybe it's just my optimism and my fandom speaking. I'm having a hard time shaking this feeling that this season is developing into something special, and I had this feeling at halftime last night. And I just see on our YouTube chat right now, my guy Theodore is chiming in on YouTube, youtube.com/957thegame. He responded to one of my tweets last night, and I sent out a tweet at halftime when the Warriors were down by 14, Dibs. And I said, this is a game where the championship-era Warriors, they come back again from down 14 at half, they come back and they win this game by like 7 points or something like that with a great second half. Like, no problem. That's just what they did. You could have a terrible first half, or the opponent goes berserk for 24 minutes. No big deal. Warriors will come back with a good second half, and they'll win that game by, like, 7 or whatever. They ultimately won by 6.
Mm.
But
so close, Grandy.
It felt kind of prescient, and it
yeah.
felt like that is what the championship-era Warriors would do. And sometimes it was just the one-man show of Steph. Other times it was Draymond playing great, and if it was the KD era, KD chipping in, he got a 20-point half decently often for the Warriors, and all of that. But the Warriors, in that era, when they were winning those titles, as recently as 2022, they could erase those deficits in a split second, and they went from down 17 at one point, Dibs,
yep.
17 very late in the second quarter, before Moses Moody hit that... before Steph Curry hit that buzzer-beater three-quarter court shot. They went from a 17-point deficit to a 10-point lead in a span of 7.5 minutes of game time.
Incredible.
Spanning the first and second halves. That is what the championship-era Warriors would do. And maybe and it's only an 8-game sample of the Jimmy Butler-era Warriors, and they're 7-1 of those 8, and maybe I'm overreacting. I don't really give a damn, Dibs.
Right.
I can't shake this feeling that there's something special brewing, and I really had a feeling last night. It reminded me so much of the way some of those championship-era games went. Terrible
yeah.
first half, and then they just come out like gangbusters in the second, and they pull away and they win a basketball
we
game.
We came up with a saying for that when I was doing Jolo and Dibs, and I don't know if you're familiar with the DEFCON system. Like, it has to do with military alert.
Yeah.
Like, if there's an imminent attack, then you go to DEFCON 2.
Yeah.
We came up with DUBCON 3 because their third quarters
yep.
were so potent. And last night, the score in the third quarter was 22-21. Steph Curry 22, Orlando 21. And the Warriors had 40 as a team, but Steph had 22.
Outscored a whole team.
And he did play 9.5 whole minutes, yeah. And Orlando played 12 minutes with five guys, so 60 minutes worth of Orlando versus 9.5 minutes of Steph. Steph wins, Steph better. So that I do think that is a good example of the reminiscence of the championship run, because that third quarter, they would flip the switch. They would come out, they could be down 11, 14, whatever. You come out in the third quarter, you flip the switch, you flip the game, and you'd go on and win handily. And last night, they kind of had to win that game again because Orlando, they were pesky.
They
would
back.
Not go away.
Yeah.
The three we were just talking about when Banchero flew by, if he misses that, which seems like a silly notion to even think that he would miss, but that's a three-point game, and Orlando gets the rebound. They got a chance to tie. So of all 12 of his threes, the three-quarter court heave was magic, but that last three was probably the most important, considering like game, time, and score.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, they all were big. I mean, the 11th one was huge, too, and I think the 11th one was from the right wing, and it was kind of like the quick double clutch where he caught it on the right wing. I think it was Butler who passed it to him. And he did like a, I don't know if he was thinking maybe I should try the pump fake and a flyby, but he quickly kind of reset himself and then shot, and it was all net. Didn't matter, right in front of his own bench. They all were huge. But I mean, are you looking at it? Did you find it?
I'm going to bring that one up.
It's hard because, I don't know, this, we look at the season as a whole and you say, well, they're only five games over 500. How could you possibly in your right mind think that this has special written on it, that this is something reminiscent of when they won championships? I'm kind of viewing the season, Dibs, in two different segments now, and it's pre-Jimmy and it's post-Jimmy. And post-Jimmy, while you could say you haven't beat an elite team yet, and I hear you, we'll see when the Warriors go to New York to take on the Knicks, this road trip, how they perform there, and they will have some other opportunities against some good teams. They'll play Milwaukee again. They'll play Denver again. They'll play some other good teams once again before this season comes to a close. But they are also proving, Dibs, that they can win games a number of different ways. They can win the grinded-out basketball game like they did in Houston before the All-Star break, and they could dominate the bad teams like the OK teams like Sacramento and Dallas,
Charlotte, yeah.
And they can dominate the bad teams like Charlotte, and they can win a game in Orlando on the road to begin a five-game road trip where Orlando is playing out of their minds for a half, maybe almost three full quarters. They play great basketball, and you manage to win when your others aren't playing that great. Like, they have proven that they have the ability, and of course so much of it is just Steph being Steph, but he's a cheat code for you, and they have proven they can win a basketball game in a number of different ways and styles too.
Well, if you're going to go on a run of any real substance in the playoffs, you're going to have to win games in different ways depending on who the opponent is. And the thing that has me so excited, beyond the obvious of Steph, and he's 56 points, he's had as good a night as he's ever had in the association, but you see Quentin Post, who's made unbelievable strides, and he's getting minutes and doing more than just standing and shooting. He's cutting, he's dunking, he's making some passes. Pods is playing with renewed confidence as well, and you know, even Jimmy Butler having a bad night, it did not necessarily mean that you were going to automatically lose. And he looked flat, and maybe he was tired from his trip to Disney World. I don't know, but he was not the Jimmy that we were getting used to yet. It still eventually didn't matter because Steph put the whole team on his shoulders.
Yeah, no, they still found a way to win. I think you can also still feel Jimmy's impact in a game like that. And down the stretch, he got a couple of trips to the free throw line. And I think it's also, it goes so much deeper than the points that he scores or, you know, the assist numbers and the rebounds and all of that. Like, obviously that's important. But it's also just when he's out there on the floor, Dibs, whether it's him creating the shot himself or just the respect that the defense has to pay to him, he allows Steph to get open and to get Steph good looks just by his presence out there. And I think that's also an underrated aspect of what has changed for the Warriors and why I feel that this has the potential to be special. Like, I really feel that in my heart right now, that things have entirely shifted. And it feels like there's something real, real cool developing in front of our eyes. I think back to a month and a half ago, Dibs. You remember when they lost in Toronto in the middle of January.
That's right, yeah.
They lost that game to one of the worst teams in the Eastern Conference, one of the worst teams in the league at that point. They had a lead in the fourth, and they blew it. Chris Boucher could not miss in the entire fourth quarter, and they win that basketball game, Toronto does. And post-game, after a loss that made the Niners 19-20 in mid-January, there was like a coordinated message post-game from Steph and from Steve and from Draymond. It was all, you know, there's a lot of talk about trades going on right now. We're not going to mortgage the future. We're not going to do something rash to help this team now. And then the next day, the next game, they win in Minnesota by a single point when Steph had some heroics late. And that was the famous Steph on ESPN postgame saying, all you Twitter fingers on your trade machine,
right,
shut the hell up. We're going to figure this thing out on our own. Like, that's where this season was. This season was a disaster, Dibs. And now, after 8 games of Jimmy Butler, they're 7-1 in those 8. They're up to the 7 seed. They're a half game out of the 6. They're 32-27. And I can't help but feel an incredible amount of optimism. It is absolutely astounding how fast this thing has shifted. And I've completely forgotten about what this season was before the last 8 games, because I feel an entirely renewed sense of optimism.
It's crazy how it can turn so quickly, but it's more than just Steph in a 56-point game that makes you think differently. It's the totality of what's been going on. And Jimmy does deserve credit, even when he plays poorly, for what you were saying about, you know, the gravity that he presents and the ability to get to the free throw line. He's another smart player to have on the floor, and he definitely makes it so defenses have to think twice if they're going to double team Steph, because now you've got Jimmy and Draymond who can come up and set the screen, and you go ahead and trap Steph. Well, now you have two guys who can get the ball, distribute, make the right play, and make something happen behind it. And also, Jimmy is another threat to go ahead and go score. Draymond, less so, but Jimmy Butler, in that same scenario, can hurt a team. So that mere presence, I think, is giving Steph a little bit more room.
Yeah. 888-957-9570. Is this season starting to feel special to you? Again, 888-957-9570. I'm also keeping an eye on our YouTube chat powered by First NorCal Credit Union, youtube.com/957thegame. And I can hear, I can see a lot of people, Dibs, say, well, how could you possibly feel like this team is going to accomplish something big? Again, it's what we were just talking about earlier. Who have they beat, right? They haven't beaten anybody special of late. Let me remind you, the Warriors' record versus some of the best teams in the league right now. 2-1 against Oklahoma City. 2-1 against Memphis. 3-1 against Houston. 0-1 against Denver, and 0-3 against the Lakers. Those are the big ones, and I think there's a reason why the Warriors would want to avoid those teams. But if we're just talking about the top 5 teams in the Western Conference, Dibs, the best of the best in the conference, including a couple of really, really elite teams, Warriors are 7-7 against the top 5. You take out the Lakers, 7-4 against everybody else. Like, they have already beaten a number, and that doesn't even include Boston. They have a win over Boston in the Eastern Conference. They have a win over Milwaukee in the Eastern Conference. This is a Warriors team, Dibs. Even before Jimmy Butler, they had proven on an any given night basis, they could beat a really, really good team. Their issue is they found a way to lose to bad teams.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
you hope that's what Jimmy Butler solves, but they've already proven on any given night they could hang with anybody in the league.
Yeah, and that's what I was mentioning to Steve about, you know, how far behind OKC they were, and how, damn, you do have the tiebreaker over OKC because you beat him 2 out of 3. And he laughed, of course, because it seemed ridiculous, and it still does, to think that you could get the 1 seed, although now I don't know if you necessarily want to settle for the 6 anymore. You're a half game out of the 6. You're a full 5 back of LA and Houston for the 4 seed, and that doesn't seem reasonable until you think about what they've done, 7-1 with Jimmy Butler, and the schedule that they still have.
Yep.
They don't have a ton of difficult games. You've got a head-to-head against the Lakers as well, so Maybe I will be on the hook for that bet with the great listener, Leanna Pons, who said they'd be a top four seed at the start of the year.
I mean, that would be incredible if they were able to sneak in the top four. It would be crazy.
Yeah.
We shall see. Right now, they are how many games out of the four?
They're five out of the four.
Five out of the four. The Lakers currently up to the four by percentage points over the Houston Rockets. Warriors, though, only a half game out of the sixth seed. All right, time for a break here on Willard and Dibs. It's Dibs and Grandy with you. I'm in for Willard. He'll be back on Monday taking your calls, your text. Also, we got Tim Roy coming up at 4:15. He was on the call, of course, right here on 95.7 The Game last night in Orlando. But you can join the conversation. Is this feeling special this season? Is it beginning to feel special for you? 888-957-9570. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. More Dibs and Grandy next on 95.7 The Game.